Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Realpolitik. I am your host, Firas Mahdad. And today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be discussing the origins of some of the major technology companies that are very much in our lives today and how they interface with intelligence, a little bit about their background, a little bit about their relationship with intelligence agencies, and their relationship with Israel. And then we are going to talk about the Iran-US deal that was announced yesterday by President Trump, and that is supposed to be signed on, I believe, Friday the 19th. So let's just get started. I got into a bit of trouble last week because I said that Facebook and Google were sort of started by the CIA and that they are not separable from intelligence. And that is, in fact, true. That is actually very, very much the truth. There is a gentleman by the name of Chester Gordon Bell who came up with the idea for the product that actually became Facebook. And in an interview that he had with Y magazine, from the Pulse podcast as well, he pretty much said how he got the idea. Initially, in 1997, a colleague of his asked him if he could scan all of his books and make them digital. And he said, why stop at books? And his idea was, how could you scan everything in your life and put it online and capture the data that was impossible to collect without the emerging technology finally at his disposal? He brings the idea to Microsoft, and he starts logging everything, his emails, his browsing history, his pictures. He takes to moving around the place with a camera around his neck that automatically took pictures and that was tied to a GPS and to an altimeter, meaning that, you know, he could instantly locate each of his photos, which is one of the settings that you now have on pretty much all social media. Do you want to add your location to the photographs? And he started doing it. And he basically was trying to create a log of his life. And it was called, initially, LifeLog. And so DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is one of the main science outfits within the Pentagon, all it does is discover new technologies, identify new technological requirements, and then link up with the private sector in order to get these requirements fulfilled. They reach out to him and they start talking about how they could build a product that would be LifeLog, that would log all of your life and would get you to pretty much make everything about your life public information and post it online. And it was actually immediately tied into with the guy who developed Google Glass, which was the same guy who built the technology that would kind of give soldiers universal awareness, or at least the commanders universal awareness, because the soldiers themselves would be wearing sensors and cameras, and these would all be interlinked, sent back to headquarters, and so a commander would know pretty much everything that was going on. But anyway, the researchers at DARPA way back then thought that the library of data that was gathered by LifeLog could be fed into AI models and predict human decision making. So they were trying to just get this the technology that we see today rolling way back in the 1990s and early 2000s. And it instantly met with a bad reaction from the public because of the public's reaction to the Patriot Act and to the violations of civil liberties that were encoded in the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act, in case you don't remember, was basically authorization for the intelligence agencies to monitor everything that everybody in the United States and therefore globally was doing in their communications and in their emails and their digital tags, essentially, so that they could be better surveyed. And DARPA, at that time, in response to the terrorist attacks, built something literally called Total Information Awareness. Like it's in the name. It's called Total Information Awareness. And the idea behind it is, as explained, develop and integrate information technologies, enabling the intelligence community to sift through multiple databases, sources, passports, visas, work permits, driver's licenses, credit card transactions, airline tickets, car rentals, gun purchases, to detect and classify and to identify potential terrorist activities. That's what it was doing. It was basically surveying everything. And since it caused that backlash, the Total Information Awareness Program ended up being canceled. And that is when, again, DARPA picked it up. And they built on it. But then the amount of pressure was so severe that they shut it down on the same day that the Facebook was launched. On the same exact day that the Facebook was launched. This doesn't provide total and conclusive evidence that this was all an intelligence op from the outset. But what it does show you is that what Facebook does objectively is fulfill an intelligence objective. What it does essentially, yes, it's fun to scroll, and who amongst us hasn't done a bit of doom scrolling? I'm old enough to be a bit of a, have been a bit of a regular Facebook user. Thank God I kicked that habit. But what Facebook does is literally in line with the objectives of the intelligence communities in response to the 9/11 attacks. This is precisely what it does. And the transition kind of seemed to have happened seamlessly from the public sector or the government into the private sector. And it happened with support from Microsoft, and it happened with support from the intelligence community. And you see that because you look at sort of senior Facebook security personnel and cybersecurity guys, a huge number of them have an intelligence background. And you see that also from the Twitter files, which we will get into, like, at least tangentially in during the show, where you see that the government uses these kinds of outfits to control narratives and to spread the narratives that it approves of. So, you know, yeah, I got into trouble for saying that these are intelligence tools, but they literally are. Google is the same thing. Google is literally the same thing. The initial grants for Google were given from the CIA and the National Security Agency, which is the sort of more digital-oriented, more signals and communications-oriented intelligence branch of the United States government. That's what it does. And the story that you have is that, you know, that's not really it, but the reality is actually pretty clear. The reality of it is that it wouldn't exist without support from the intelligence community. This was the purpose for its founding. The intelligence community hoped, according to this article on QZ, that the nation's leading computer scientists could take non-classified information and user data, combine it with what become known as the internet, because the internet, you have to remember, was actually a military technology. That's a different conversation. And begin to create for-profit commercial enterprises to suit the needs of both the intelligence community and the public. They hope to direct the supercomputing revolution from the start, in order to make sense of what millions of human beings did inside the digital information network. That collaboration has made a comprehensive public-private mass surveillance state possible today. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what is happening. I mean, where is the debate about this? The story of the deliberate creation of the modern mass surveillance state includes elements of Google's surprising and largely unknown origin. It is a somewhat different creation story than the one the public has heard and explains what Google co-founders Sergey Brin and Larry Page set out to build and why. It's not just about Google, it's about the mass surveillance state. Exactly. In the 90s, the intelligence community in America began to realize that they had an opportunity. The supercomputing community was just beginning to migrate from university settings into the private sector, led by investments from a place that would come to be known as Silicon Valley. A digital revolution was underway, one that would transform the world of data gathering and how we make sense of massive amounts of information. The Intel community wanted to shape Silicon Valley supercomputing efforts at their inception, so they would be useful for both military and homeland security purposes. Okay, that seems coherent. Intelligence gathering may have been their world, but the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency had come to realize that their future was likely to be profoundly shaped outside the government. It was at a time when military and intelligence budgets within the Clinton administration were in jeopardy, because that was after the end of the Cold War, and so Clinton was trying to balance the budget. That was his whole pitch to the voters, that he would fix the economy and balance the budget, which he did succeed in doing. And so for the intelligence communities, they looked around and they figured, what if we recruit the resources of the private sector and get the private sector to work under our guidance to shape what kind of products that they would build? And that would mean that the intelligence community would gain even more control. So they started reaching out to the scientists. And one of the scientists that they reached out to was Sergey Brin and what's the other guy's name? Whatever. And so this is how the company was actually started. This is exactly how it was started. And they go here to explain how basically the internet was a DARPA creation, the same DARPA that sort of deals with Boston Dynamics and the robotics, at the attempts at integrating robotics and AI and self-driving vehicles into the same umbrella and into a full-on, fully developed military application that would allow for the use of autonomous weapons and that would integrate the human element with a surveillance element with the AI and autonomous elements so that the commanders could have total visibility over the battlefield and so that they could basically dominate the enemy because they would know all of the enemy's movements and their own locations, and the AI would identify the enemy targets and select the right kind of weapon with which the enemy would be hit. So when you're thinking about this stuff, you want to think about the history itself. You also want to think about the holistic picture that they're heading towards, which is a kind of semi-autonomous monstrosity, really, with just giant killing machines or appropriately sized killing machines all over the world. And what they tried to develop was something that was called the Massive Digital Data Systems Project, which was launched at Stanford, Caltech, MIT, Harvard, Carnegie Mellon, etc., describing the needs that the intelligence community had in the age of massive computing and trying to figure out how they could get the private sector to build the products that they needed, given that there were growing constraints on their budgets in the 1990s as Clinton tried to balance the American budget deficit. So this is the story. Changing demands require that the intelligence community process different types as well as larger volumes of data, they said in the Massive Digital Data Systems white paper in 1993. The date is important. This is older than some of the people in the audience. Consequently, the ICE is taking a proactive role in stimulating research in the efficient management of massive databases and ensuring that the intelligence community requirements can be incorporated or adapted into commercial products. Why do you want them to come out of commercial products? Well, obviously, it's cheaper. Second, if you present them as a commercial product that you yourself download on your phone, you make yourself available as a target to the intelligence community. And thirdly, it gets to a point where the only people who aren't using these kinds of applications are themselves suspect because they're trying to stay away from prying eyes. But if they just have a mobile phone that pings with mobile telephone towers, they are still identifiable. So it serves a bunch of purposes. The aim was to provide grants of several million dollars each to advance this research concept so that this kind of management of massive amounts of data could happen. And this type of public-private innovation helped launch powerful science and technology companies like Qualcomm, the chips makers, Symantec, which are the internet security guys, Netscape, forget about that, and funded research in areas like radars and fiber optics, leading to companies like AccuWeather, which the weather is incredibly important to predict accurately if you're conducting a bombing run, Verizon and AT&T. And now the fund that they have to do these kinds of things provides 90% of all federal funding for university-based computer science research. So the entire tech environment is captured. The research arms of the CIA and NSA hoped that the best computer science minds in academia could identify what they called birds of a feather. Just as geese fly together in large V-shapes, or flocks of sparrows make sudden movements together, they predicted that like-minded groups of humans would move together online. This is a critical insight, right? When you ask yourself, why is it that pretty much all of the social media companies, especially before the acquisition of Twitter by Elon Musk, think in exactly the same way and have the same priorities? They all have crappy enforcement of child protections. They all have an insane left-wing bias. They all tell you that diversity is our strength. They all believe in troons and in the importance of having troons. Well, because by design, the people that were selected to do the work, that were given the grants, were in an environment that rewarded compliance and that wanted to ensure that they would obey central control. And if they manage to control the people who give you your media feed, they also get to control you. That's the idea. And so the research aim was to track digital fingerprints inside the rapidly expanding global information network, which was then known as the World Wide Web. Could an entire world of digital information be organized so that the requests human made inside such a network be tracked and sorted? Surveillance was itself the objective. So in the early days of the internet, you had these idealists who said that the internet was going to liberate everybody. And as everyone gets access to information, what is going to happen is that everybody's opinions would improve. They would become better people. They would end up agreeing on things. They would see that the enemy is whatever it was, inequality, injustice, etc. And the internet would provide a universal, all-encompassing kumbaya moment where we all unite with one another. Well, actually, the purpose of some of the earliest products of the internet was to corral you and control you. And it was to make sure that you would be obeying the intelligence community, which was seeking a way to compensate for its loss of power because of the loss of budget by transforming itself and grabbing control of the new products in the private sector. That's what actually happened. The intent was to, by engaging with emergent commercial data, the intent was to track like-minded groups of people across the internet and identify them from the digital fingerprints they left behind, like forensic scientists. They predicted that potential terrorists would communicate with each other in this new global connected world, and they could find them by identifying patterns in this massive amount of new information. And so enter Sergey Brin and Larry Page, one of the most promising grants under the massive data distribution system, whatever it was called, went to a research team at Stanford with a decade-long history of working with the NSF and DARPA. That was the idea. If you enjoyed this preview, please consider subscribing to LotusEaters.com starting for just £5 a month.
It is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.